on my way back from a passion play in Oklahoma City. You know the tapes. See these. I was concerned about the presence of God that was in the play, which was zero almost. Yet the angels flew on wires. Yeah, they flew over the resurrection and all kinds. But on the way back, I was musing. That's like amusement, only you're doing that to yourself. I was musing inside, wondering, based on what I already knew, foundation, what would it take to bring an anointing to this passion play? Sometimes he answers direct and tells you, but sometimes he says things like, well, if you went home and worshiped me all night, you'd begin to find out. Well, what praying in tongues was doing was giving me the key that unlocked the door to worship, to get what that could give me. I had a key that I used seldomly. I mean, I'd have to sand rust off of it when I used it at the fasting door. But I'd sand rust off of it and I opened that door. But one time it really opened. And so I was in and out of that door several times in a period of a few years. Why? Well, because when Jesus come down off the mountain, when he was talking to Elijah, Moses, the law and the prophets, you say, well, what was he talking about? Evidently, you know, it's getting time for him to be crucified. And they didn't come from heaven. They didn't come down from heaven and visit him. They came from paradise. Nobody had been born again yet, because he was the firstborn of many brethren. So no one was born again yet. So they came from paradise. And obviously they were talking to him about the ascension. It wouldn't be long that he'd be raising from the dead. And every person who was waiting for that promise he made in the Garden of Eden, born of woman, or will be a seed that'll bruise your head, it'll destroy the power you have over spiritual death. I can't imagine the procession he led into heaven. Psalms 22 and 23 and 24. 22, they nailed my hands and my feet. They pierced them. 23, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I'm not staying there. Psalms 24. Open up gates of heaven. The Lord of hosts is coming through. And he had quite a procession with him. You know. So, when he unlocked the door to worship, and I started worshiping, you kind of wear every traditional form out, you know, if I play and sing or listen to worship music. Finally, it ended up me and him in a little soundproof room that I was supposed to make radio tapes in. Learning what it meant to just stay in there. And stay in there. Stay in there. And and stay in there. Well, I had a lot of dry times, and I'd say the first 30 hours maybe. I had a lot of dry time. My words would get pancake flat and fall to the floor, and I got a spatula and I tried to get them up to heaven. Until I got a visitation, I thought that I was losing ground there because I didn't feel His presence. I felt resistance. And I'd say, I love You. I love You. I love You. Just resistance I would meet, sometimes for hours. But you know, the only reason I didn't stop, I'm honest what He said to me. The second one is, I'm stubborn. When I finally got a visitation by revelation, He could explain to me what was going on. I was really getting more done when hell was camped on me, because I was pushing my way past any place I had ever been before and was worthy to be stopped. Well, I'm glad I didn't. Here's one thing I found out. Limited to our knowledge of the Old Testament and New, even the short burst that we know about Satan, we don't even. He said He was perfect in all His ways in the beginning. He has created. We don't know how long ago that was. We don't know what He did for sure. We know a third of the angels followed Him. I don't know what He did to evangelize them. Preachers always say He has no salvation because He had no tempter. Well, the third of the angels did. How about them? How about them? They had a tempter, the same one. Did they get a chance? You know, He doesn't fill us in on a lot of history. I mean, we have enough keeping up with just the history that we know about ourselves. But if I was to say God had a weakness, this is how I'd categorize it. It's you. It's you. See? Since I've known God in history, Bible, information, the costly thing, I mean, the most costly thing, in my lifetime, in my study, most costly thing heaven endured. Endured was our right to have choices. I understand now, even though He's God, well, where did He come from? Teman? A direction, anyway. He didn't come from anywhere. He always was. I don't know how somebody that always was and always is and always will be, they totally, totally have to be self-sufficient. Was there ever a time when there was nothing? You know, ever a time. We don't know. But I do know this. Take the chance He took, even with the angels. He said, well, those angels that disobeyed Him are chained in chains of darkness to the day of judgment. Well, I wondered, if they're chained, how are they bothering me? Well, evidently, being chained in chains of darkness, they're reserved for the judgment. Then obviously, them still being on the loose, they're being judged the same time we are. When He settles the whole thing and divides heaven and hell and gives us a new heaven and a new earth. Then the devil and the angels that followed him, they're locked up in hell. Everything is sorted out and finished at that time. Yet he's scheduled for termination at the same time we are. Now, obviously, the reason those angels were chained is because it's possibly that they had a way out. They could have made a choice. But they chose to follow Satan, so they were on the loose, but yet they were chained by hell. And so they wasn't getting away from anything. We don't know. But if we have a second chance, because Adam was tempted, you think he'd differentiate with the angel? Satan had no tempter, but why do you even care about that? Because to come and get me and call me his son, he must want something. He must enjoy something that I have. You have the same. We all have our right to make choice. You can even turn your back on him now and walk out if you want. We have right to make choices, and I found out without that, okay, robot,
I love you.
I know it. Shut up.
I love you.
I'll turn it off. I know I programmed that in. What would that mean to me? But you're God. Yeah, but you're you. And there's something that he wants from you. He called you his family.
I love you.
Cost heaven. You taught them this before, I know it. It cost heaven for us to have that right to make choices. But what are you weighing this with? Something I discovered about the love of God? That door unlocked to me and opened up a little wider while I was in Brazil. I can't tell you about it now. I will later on. But his love opened up to me in such ways that I understood some things that I had not understood before. Here's one, it's really simple, but I don't know why I hadn't opened that door. Say, do you love God? Yes. What do you have? I have his love. I have, God gave me his love. Oh, you mean you're loving him back because he took his love and put it in you? Well, I don't think he would have a lot of fellowship if it was his love he put in you and you borrowed it for a little while to give it back. That really wouldn't be from you, would it? Well, what did he want? When you were born again, your spirit received a capacity not only to have his nature, but it received a capacity to develop a love like he has. It seems that every time he talks about doing majestic things for God, like desire earnestly the best gifts, he listed them out, you know. Mighty apostles and prophets, teacher, or the work of the miracles, or healing gifts. And he said, desire earnestly these best gifts. And suddenly he pauses and says, I'll show you a more excellent way. More excellent way to do what? To desire earnestly the best gifts. And I love the graduation to chapter 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I said, wait a minute, how am I working these? I got tongues. But you went on to say, though I had faith, I could move all mountains. You went on, listed everything and said, but if I didn't have that love, then I really didn't have nothing. Well, and he says, let me show you a more excellent way to come into those things, if you'll allow me to go after them. And if you'll seek the love of God with the same tenacity that you wanted the glory of the power among your comrades, you'll get there quicker. I knew real, true revival was a dangerous place. Very dangerous. You don't have to go too far to find out how dangerous. Just study revival history. And here I'm watching God trying to do all He can. So He gives them a little more power. He's trying to get us as much as He can out. And He does all He can. And I remember when He tried to take me out after He began working miracles, that when somebody would throw their crutches up. We had crutches in front of the curtain and different things like that that had been left behind. So I knew how it felt to go there. Still do. But I remember taking the step into the world a bit. But before I took another step, I wanted to do another meeting, and I did, and gosh, He did the same miracles. So I'm thinking, okay, I took another one.
You don't teach on that much.
You're right, I don't.
What kind of steps did you take?
He forgot it. So it's nobody's business now. He forgot it. I forgot it. I took another step. I went in nervously into the next meeting. And He did miracles again. So that's about the time the devil makes his big move. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you do, he'll keep. And those are the kind of devils I encountered on this last trip. Only I ended up running them off, not them, me. I can't say this much. It's the first time I saw, except the big one standing by the door, and I don't know if that was a vision from God, discerning a spirit, or what it was, but he looked like a Roman soldier dressed, and he had the Roman sword, and he had the shield, and breastplate, and he was just standing there. I knew he was a big devil, because little devils were fanning out over the crowd, chanting, something's wrong here, something's wrong here, till we lost about two rows saying the same thing. So it must have been a vision from God or something. But this last time, it was only a few weeks ago, and I was far away from home as I could get on the other side of the world almost. Alan is across the hall in the room. But Anyway, I'll just put it this way. I saw the devil in charge of the devils, and I saw the whole bunch. And they didn't go away right away. So I studied them. But I really can't go beyond that point, except when it was over, I had won. And they were camping at the door of the love of God that I've been looking for. And their assignment was not to let me go through it. Well, that's just too bad, isn't it? It's just too bad. Well, I found out that my spirit has the capacity to develop that kind of love. Is it God's? Yes, it is. But it's developing in you as an individual through your new nature that you received when you were born back again into His family and became His son and daughter. And that love is developing and building. Well, how important is it? How do you like this? You can say to that mountain, you know, you got faith like, you can say that mountain to be removed, cast into the sea, and you doubt not in your heart. It has to obey you. But then the one little red flag that he waved. Oh, by the way, if you have aught against someone, you might as well just stop praying and go fix it. If greed's the reason you're given, you might as well put it back in your pocket. He said, when you're bringing your offering up, oops, you remember you have aught. How many times has God ever told you to take your money back? Go fix it. Then come back and give it. Do you know why He left us here? He doesn't have any other way to reach people. Last Sunday I preached quite unknowingly. That the reason we have a reward, or we can work a reward, is because He left us here, born again, heading home for heaven, but left me here, and to leave me here, He had to leave me in this body. So whatever it took to overcome it, whatever it took to finish everything He's called me to do here, the one thing is He's after people. And when He's a God of grace, the only reason there's an award, a reward, only reason, not because you could do anything about your salvation except accept it. There was no way you could work for it. There was no way you could earn it. But you still had to be left here because you're the only thing He has to reach anybody else. And if you overcome the flesh and fulfill everything that He's called you to do, that's what the reward is based on. Not anything you did to be saved or stay saved, except believe. this love that's accessible, it's building in you. This love. I don't care if he is God. I don't care if he did come from forever. I don't care if he's on the way to forever. There must be something that he needs, just like you. If when that love develops, that you love people more than what they can do to you, see them born again, and when you raise your hands and say, "My Father God, I love you, and Jesus, I love you. I don't know how to tell you how much. But I'm starting to catch on how much you love me. You came in after me. You didn't have to. That was very clear. You could have called 10,000, 72,000 angels. It's just like that." He said, "This is my cup. It's my choice whether I drink it or not." He chose to. And he came in after me. Came in after you. When I tell him, raise my hands and tell my Father I love him. And tell Jesus. See. He knows. He knows that it was my choice. He knows it's coming from me, and it's my choice. I choose. I choose. He didn't make me. He didn't break my arm. He did nothing. I choose to lift my hands and to tell him that I love him because I do. You know, I'm going to be so glad when I'm free from money. Because that's when I'll have all of it. You're serious, aren't you? Do you know another mission more important than one you're on finding out about this afternoon? This morning. So, the two gods he listed together here, and I have it from a really good source, the true love of God in manifestation will beat the britches off of covetousness and greed. It'll just streak. It'll run off streaking poverty. Well, we can talk about it a little bit. True to much that's been spoken here, he said, to add to that, there's much, much that I desire to do. And there's much that I desire to give. For you'll see, when those days of fruitfulness and harvest begin, you'll say, how did that go? You'll compare the times you went through with what you see, and you'll say, it was nothing. You'll also say, if I had known that you made available as much as you did, I would have went on to receive it. Well, hear what the Spirit would say. For these steps that are being taken into my love will unlock some of these things that your hearts desire to know. And one of them is the defeat of greed. I'm going to like that one. I can give all I have. Hallelujah. What did he say when heaven had a party and got all joyful and angels were singing? And it's when one sheep came home. They were all rejoicing because the one sheep that was lost was found, and there was more joy in heaven over the 99 that sat in their chairs and drank water. The prodigal son, the woman that lost a piece of silver, called her friends to celebrate day's wage over the other 9 pieces or so that she had. So there was more rejoicing over the one that was lost again. Well, the prodigal son, with the father, was just so moved and elated. They sent after the elder brother, come on. Nope. 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 So father entreated him, as you know. So I've never disgraced anything you said. I've always obeyed. You'd never kill a fatted calf for me. He said, don't you understand? This is your brother that was lost. He's been found. He's dead. Now he's alive. It's meet that we should rejoice and be glad. Well, he gave both of them their inheritance at the same time. The younger squandered it. You never killed a fatted calf for me, he said, son. All I've ever had has been yours. If he finished the statement, this is what he was saying. All I've ever had has been yours. Here's the problem. I'm your father. You don't even know me well enough to know that. Yes, we'd rejoice. The next parable, he gets into a little bit of money. See, this I know. The love of God. It defeats the greed. You know that scale when you feel the love of God at times and you're willing to share. If somebody's hungry, you're willing to share your money. If you were almost starved to death, you'd probably be a little more reluctant to give them your food. But he said a steward worked for his rich man. And he started cheating and lying. And he said, look, you better balance all the accounts and account to me, because I'm going to let you go. So this is what he did. He went on, kept stealing and lying. So his master, he told the debtors that they owed so much. And he'd say, you owed this much. And then he'd hold back the money. And so when Jesus was telling the parable, he says, He was ensuring a place for him to stay when he was put out of his stewardship. And he was using money by canceling their debts against the rich man to do it with. So he can go back and say, have you got a place for me? Then Jesus uses five words. And he says, and I say unto you. He said, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, or using the power that's in money, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting habitation. Boy, that's almost as clear as when Nicodemus asked Jesus about being born again. He said, oh, what does it mean? Okay, this is my final explanation. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it comes or where it goes. So as every man's born of the Spirit, Nicodemus is going, thank you very much. Thank you. I know everything now. He says, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. This guy used the power of attorney in the name of his rich man to write their debts off. You have the power of attorney in the name of your rich man. And he said, by my name, you can cancel their debt. He says, you want to know a good use for money? I say unto you, make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness by using the power that's in money to get their debts against God canceled, which is the sin question. And when you walk into heaven, every dollar that was used to get somebody born again is going to be waiting to celebrate. How many remembers the rest of the prophecy that's on the wall in the forum that says endurance? That's just a real short version of the entire prophecy. And he warned us severely 20 years ago that we would be asked to endure and endure until it looked like it was beyond endurance. Because he didn't want us to pull up short and then be destroyed somewhere along the way where he was getting effective enough to do something on a full-scale God scale. So when I read that the other day over while I was praying, and I saw all the things that was brought forth that day, and he says, do you understand this now? I just about lost it. I said, yes, sir. And you're telling me that the love of God can prevent all of that? Yes, that's why Paul added it to that chapter. It never, 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 never fails and has no fear. I'm not talking about the phony stuff and that. The genuine, destructive fear has none. Love has none. And it never, never, never fails. So now, besides being classified as compassion when it's moving, the tangible presence of love is compassion. That's why when Jesus was moved by it, he healed them. Well, let's think about this for a minute. The endurance. What did you want? The first time through, he took me back to the old men. Do you know what Branham ended up believing? Alexander Dowie that shook Chicago to her knees. He wasn't quite as bad. And at the end of his days, he ascended onto his own little throne with a tall hat, papal hat, and chains and paraphernalia, and declared he was Elisha to come, and he started buying up land around Israel because he was going to rule and reign through the millennial with Jesus. He was Elijah. Come on, he brought Chicago to his knees, signs and wonders. Unbelievable. And William Branham. I'm not talking about a baby revival. A good move. William Branham. Gosh, I can remember when he was the talk. I got to go to one of his meetings. I got to go to one of A.A. Allen's. Boy, can Branham. He not only could tell you what was wrong with you, but you'd be healed. I remember one, said, you don't like being in that wheelchair, do you? She said, no. I said, then get out. What's going to happen to somebody like that? What could go wrong? After this last visitation I had, not from the right side of the fence, the one I'll be able to talk about later, I could understand what met them at the door. I've never been so unafraid in my life. Never. I lost it somewhere. William Branham says, I'm Elisha to come. He went a little further than that. He taught. I don't think the women cared for him much. At one point he taught that the woman was, didn't have a spirit. I'm trying to get a point over here. They were just for reproduction. In fact, God wasn't for it at all. You know, His original plan was to make everybody from the dust of the earth. But Eve spoiled it. Well, that isn't all. You want to know how much power he walked in? His palate was formed in such a way that he was the only one that pronounced God's name right. I don't think it was Jehovah, but it was God's name and His name only. Yahweh. Yahweh. Nobody could say it right. He was the only man born on the earth with that palate. Nobody else could say it. So the catching away of the church couldn't take place until He was born. And He would say this word and would say that, and all of us would receive our glorified bodies and we would go home. And He died believing that. And these guys, they shook nations. Tell me it's a lot easier to park somewhere along here, and the devil's better at religion than he is stopping somebody that's messing cities up. He's a whole lot better with religion than he can just get one guy messed up and he can teach you how to be messed up. Not buying it. Could you go on? Oh, God, yes. Where do you think the dark ages come from? Apostles handing the valuable, treasurable truths off to the next generation and the next. When Paul wrote Romans, everybody really has a bad time with 9, 10, and 11. The perspective position on the Jews. So that's where a lot of them take eternal security for the Jews. Don't worry about Abraham that lives down on the corner. He's got his own covenant. He doesn't need to accept Jesus. His death on the cross, and others preach it's all inclusive, whether you receive anything or not. He saved the world then, so what's the point of believing? You don't have to. All inclusive, you're saved anyway. But I always wondered, if you're saved anyway, you don't have to be saved. Then how come I'm living off of the believers? But he did have an answer. He says, if you belong to God now, you know, get born again now, then you have the benefit of answered prayer. The others don't have that benefit. Well, they'd just soon beat you up and get your money. Why bother praying? You know. Now, Alan, he got a DUI one time. When he died in San Francisco in front of a TV sitting in a chair. But he had arthritis so bad in his legs and knees, and then he's in such pain that if he took enough drugs, this is their explanation, if he took enough drugs to sleep, but the drugs have a hangover effect on you. You can't forget. You forget all everything, and it'd be hard to preach like that. So he chose alcohol to kill the pain so he could sleep, and at least he could minister then. When he came out of the sleep. Anyway, that's their story, their deduction on what happened to him. If I was doing something bad, like the person we're talking about, something, if I had done something bad like that, I would like to dig up all the famous men's problems they had and their failures so I could feel better about mine. Well, if you use these guys, I didn't do that all that much bad, so you can kind of justify yourself. Listen, these guys were tearing hell up and leaving salvation by the thousands in their wake. What are you saying? Well, how many knows last time the devil came and attacked was during the fasting era for me and liked to sing me to death and then tried to introduce me to sensationalism? Little gold dusting wouldn't hurt, a few pearls falling out of the sky, you know. And I supposed to have been off on the sensationalism and I'll get you all a ticket for Guyana. Let's go to Guyana. He had lightning flashes in his meetings. All of a sudden, or was it? Let's go to Guyana. What happened to you? Who did they meet along the way? When Paul wrote Romans, he didn't have the book of Revelation to Genesis in his lap. He was writing most of the difficult parts to understand in the epistles about us being born again in relation with the law, the Jew, everything. And you have to understand, when he wrote that, all that other stuff wasn't available at that time. You didn't have a Bible in your lap with all the books that they wrote. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's letters, the life, Jude, James, Titus, all of those. You're looking at, you didn't have that to say, well, I'm going to see what he means here in Romans about the Jew, 9, 10, and 11. I'll go over here and look. There's nowhere to go except the old. The one thing I like that Paul said, he's the one who explained tongues. Divers tongues, he said. He explained tongues. And in doing so, you know his statement? Probably responsible for more of the revelation knowledge of Jew, us, Gentile, born again, will and plan of God. He probably knew more than anybody just about. But here was his statement. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. And responsible for the major, major understandings, major. Of the epistles. I got through the door. This walk now is unfolding. And guess what its primary objective is? It's not the power anymore. It's not. It's not achievements that can be recognized. It's the love of God. Do you understand that? What he means then when he says that? If you don't have that, you don't have. I'm beginning to. How can something control you that loses its power? It can't. So what are you going to do this afternoon? I'm going to go home and listen to my teaching. Are you going to condemn us and stuff? And you're going to... Oh, no. If you want, just go along for the ride. It's okay. I'm going to go there anyway. It's okay. Hallelujah, Jesus. You think I can stand it, knowing what's there, and stay where I'm at? No, I can't. And one day, I'll be able to tell you what I faced on the other side of the world for 2 days. How do you feel? Secure? Well? Full of peace? Happy, and know that there's a revival unfolding in front of me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Is it going to stay? Yes. Years ago when I saw it and didn't know what it was, it's because I was young and zealous and thought I could do it myself. But he let me see a glimpse of the future, and that was enough. Funny, I jumped in the shower. That kept me from running down the hall yelling at everybody. I had a vision. So he gave it to me in the shower. Ha, ha, ha. At least I think. The earth here, a light region here, and then a real black belt around it, and bright region. We lived on the planet in the medium region, and it got real dark and real bright. And me and all of my exegesic masterpieces and knowledge, I said, that black belt there is the devil, isn't it? And God said, no, that's your flesh. I went, what? What? I said, what's it on the other side of it? That's my power. That's my operation. That's the fullness of it. And then it changed. People were clawing their way up. One would get his hand through it, and he'd come back and lay his hand on people, and they'd be healed. One of them got his head through there. Boy, talk about a teacher. Yeah. But somebody made it all the way through. Was it you? Obviously, not yet. All I did was got clean. This guy got through, then he shot back. And he glowed with the same fire when he hit the earth, and the earth was dark there where he hit it, but it wasn't very long. It kindled the fire, then a raging forest fire of revival. Then followed him that some of those candles fought their way up and went through the dark and into the bright, and they shot off. And wherever they landed, it caught on fire. It erupted and burned with revival. And so that's about all he let me see was a picture. You know, I felt good seeing it. But you know, you go on wishing, I wish that was me. You hope, I hope that's me. But when he remains quiet on the subject, you're not quite sure. I don't care who it is anymore. Just do it. Hallelujah. Well, perfect love, woo, kills greed. Never fail. Perfect love casts out all fear. Why? Because you don't have anything to fear when you're not going to fail. But I could die from this. Not if you take a bath in His love, because you're not going to fail either. So you might as well get rid of the fear. Hallelujah, Jesus. Miskuroma lakisha.
Well, God let me get in that car wreck. He wanted to teach me something.
I wish He'd have just talked to me.
Do you learn anything from testings and trials?
You better, because they're going to come anyway, so you might as well learn something.
Well, then God didn't send him.
Did He send Satan to Adam? Then He didn't send your problem to you either, did He?
Well, does He use what happens to me?
If you're teachable. And then, of course, a guy gets blamed. At, he had to send that so you'd learn. You know, if there's more empty chairs next week, I'll still have a better time than I did this week.
Well, then what if the church is absolutely empty?
I listen to myself all the time anyway. What do you think's going to happen? I'm not thinking, I know. I know.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you could ask it, hallelujah, Jesus. I heard this one before almost. I'm saying and teaching these things, for there's much, much that I desire to say, and I never get the opportunity to say them in most order of churches. I hardly ever get to speak my mind. Yes. Yes, truths are taught. But I never usually get to speak my mind and my plan amongst you for not only the hour, but for what's to come. For it is my desire to be free, to manifest what is in my heart and in my mind for you, for the very moment that you live in. So for this, I can get up here and think I'm going to do anything. But if I yield, if I don't take my own path, then generally he'll keep teaching us on what is coming, what has happened, the devil's fighting of it, all those things. And that's the reason that we'll bring up people who's been this way. City revivals, history. He doesn't want to leave things the same. So as long as he has his way, he's going to speak his mind. He's going to let us know what he wants, what's available, and to make us know that it is very, very attainable. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I just want to kind of just mosey along, live like I am. Then do it. I only mentioned praying in tongues this one time with Paul. That you're here this morning, I wouldn't be able in the time allotted probably to convince you how important this next step into the Spirit is. The very, very next thing on the list after being born again is being filled with the Holy Ghost. He is the teacher who will guide you into all truth. But I can't speak with tongues. You know what tongues is? It's the plan that God has for your personal life. Prayed out so it can be answered. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Understanding's unfruitful. How be it? In the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. Along with the plan unfolding for you, you'll begin to understand the mysteries of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Which is the love, the power, and the peace. But I can't pray with tongues. Come on, the only thing that's keeping you from doing that is coming up here. Run up here. Come. At the moment, I can just barely teach. A whole lot has happened to me last month that I've never in my entire life seen before. When I talk about my enemy, I know him better than I ever have before. So I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay.